If you'd like to take your Bibles and follow along, we will be looking at John 1, and I will read verses 1 through 18. And again, we're going to pray for the Spirit's guidance. And Lord and our God, I just pray that you give us ears to hear what you would have us to take away from this portion of your text, your written word. But not only that, Lord, I just pray that you give us the desire to obey. And give us the will to do what you would have us to do as your believers, as your royal priesthood. Lord God, I do pray that I represent you properly in these verses. Give me the wisdom and the insight, Lord. Let your Holy Spirit flow through the words that I speak. You truly are a great God, worthy to be served. Amen. John 1, verses 1 through 18. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, glory as the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness about him and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks before me, because he was before me.' For from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, only God, who is at the Father's side, has made him known." You may be seated. As you can see, we're still on these first few verses in the Gospel of John. But we can't leave them because there is just so much truth in these first few verses. And I like reading that portion to keep everything in the context. But today we will be focusing on the truth or the light, what Jesus has brought to the world. You know, and it's going to be verses 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, and 9. We will intermingle with the other ones. But I want you to listen again to these verses where he talks about light. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. Saints, we live in a world darkened by sin. You know, we studied creation in the last couple messages, and God created all things good. But those good things of God were corrupted by sin, and it brought a darkness into this world, an overwhelming darkness. And we, even as saints of God, must understand that we were in that darkness just like everybody else born of man and everybody else who will be born of man and the people before us who were born. We all entered into a world of darkness. We were blinded by the stain of sin in this world. But you know, it was Jesus Christ coming into the world, and he shone rays of light into this world. And those rays of light were for man's benefit. It's not something that was necessary to make God any greater. It was out of his love for his creation that he shone light into this world. One of those lights, you know, we see, you know, that was the light of creation. You know, we did two messages on that, but it tells us all things were made through him, and without him was nothing made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. You know, Jesus is the source of the light on this planet. He created the sun. He created the moon. He is the giver of that life-sustaining light that shines into the darkness of this world. You know, just think how it would be if we didn't have any light. You know, we'd be groping around. But God sent that light, and that light was a testimony of his greatness, his majesty. And that light was sent for all people. You know, that's common grace given to all people, except, you know, there's some who are blind physically. But it's a testimony of God's greatness. You know, in Romans 1, it tells us, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made, so they are without excuse." You know, we look at this complex world. We can look at it because the light that Jesus Christ has shone on it. But you know, it amazes me, the pictures from the Hubble telescope shot out into space. We see such beauty and order. We see beauty and order when men go to the depths of the ocean and there is life down there, life and order. But you know, this complex world is a demonstration of the greatness of God, his majesty. And that light is for all men. However, that is not a saving light. That light will not bring people to salvation. It will give them the awareness of God, an awareness of a creator, of something greater than themselves. But it is not a saving life for salvation. You know, we see another light that tells us in verse 9, "The true light which gives light to everyone was coming into the world." You know, and as I read the commentaries, there's two camps on that, on what that light believes. You know, one is Augustine, and he believes that this is the light of salvation. And he puts it this way, you know, it's a comparison of a schoolmaster. He says, if he happens to be the only person who has a school in the town, he is called the teacher of all. Though there be many persons that do not go to school, they therefore understand the phrase in comparative sense, that all are enlightened by Christ, because no man can boast of having obtained the light of life in any other way than by grace. So he's saying he believes that it is all believers. All believers. Anyway, that's understandable, and I think I was leaning that way. But then I read Calvin's view on this. And I think Calvin touches it as a little different light, where he says it is for all men. And here's what Calvin states: "For we know that men have this peculiar excellence which raises them above other animals, that they are endowed with reason and intelligence, and that they carry the distinction between right and wrong engraven on their conscience. There is no man, therefore, whom some perception of the eternal light does not reach." And I see Calvin's point in this as well. You know, in Romans 1, it tells us what we looked at: "For the invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world." You know, and that's for all people. But also in Romans 2:14, we read, "For when the Gentiles, who do not have the law, by nature do what the law requires, they are a law to themselves. Even though they do not have the law, they show that the work of the law is written on their hearts, while their conscience also bears witness, and their conflicting thoughts accuse or even excuse them." So Calvin's saying that's what this verse means: the light, the common grace given to all men. And we see that. They understand they are different than the animal world. They have a reason where they can ask, well, why am I here? Why does this world exist? They have that right and wrong engraved in their hearts. But notice, many who do not come to the loving knowledge of Jesus Christ, many who go to the depths of sin, they make an excuse. They give a reason. They're suppressing the truth. They are in total conflict with themselves. You know, we have these two views, but you can decide. Either way you decide, it does not diminish that it is Jesus Christ who gives the light to men. It's a demonstration of his love, his faithfulness to mankind. And Jesus is the light of the world. He is the light of the gospel message. Because if we look at John, you know, John 6, where it tells us there was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but he came as a witness about the light. You know, John came as a testimony about Jesus Christ, that Jesus Christ was the light of the world. Notice, John was not the light. He was bearing witness about the light, about Jesus. And those who would believe him, believe the words of Jesus Christ. You know, it is not the light that saves people. It is the gospel message, the words found in this book. The light will reveal those words, and it was revealed through Jesus Christ. So that is, it's a testimony. It's the ray of light. John was not the source of the light. He reflected the light of Jesus Christ. He, just like you and I, we reflect God's message to the people. It's not our message, but it is a message from Jesus Christ. The words of Jesus are the true light. And it tells us in John 8:12, again, Jesus spoke to them saying, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." So it's clear there Jesus is talking about the gospel message. Whoever follows me, that means whoever follows his teachings, who follows his words, which are compiled in this book, will have eternal life. You know, and that comes from our Lord. They will leave the darkness when that light is grasped onto. They will leave their sinful past. What John is making it clear in these verses, though, is that it's all about Jesus Christ and what he has done. Yes, he's given these different rays of light, but each one of these lights is a testimony of his love toward his creation, his love that he has given us a way of escape from our sins, because that's one thing this light does. When we have the light of the gospel message, it reflects who God is and his greatness, but also it exposes to us what we are in our sinfulness. And when we do not suppress that truth, we grasp onto that light of the gospel message and cry out, God, forgive me. But it is about Jesus Christ. Just to kind of recap, the ray of light of his creation, the sun, the moon, it penetrates the darkness, which demonstrates his majesty over creation. And the ray of light given to all men, which does give them a knowledge of right and wrong, a conscience. They are above the animals. Again, they can ponder things. Why am I here? But you know, again, that is not a saving light. It is a testimony against themselves, because many men suppress the truth. And then there is a ray of light that is the gospel message, where we understand, God gives us the capability to understand the triune God. You know, and that's why any of you are here. It's because what God has done to you, to give you that grace and that mercy to understand his gospel message. Isn't that amazing when you think about it? We could have been left in darkness, but by the grace of God. You know, and it tells us it's not by our works, not by the works of men, but by the power of God. It's a gift, it's a gift, it's a gift. Why he chose some and not the others, I don't know. But you know, he has chose us from eternity past, and that's why any of you are sitting in this pew. It's because of the love of God that he demonstrated to us. What a gracious God we serve. Again, he could have left all of us in the dark. But you know, this brings out two biblical truths. The Word of God is the divider of mankind. There are only two camps. Those who suppress the truth and have not come to the light of the gospel message, and those who have accepted that gospel message. They are able to discern truth from error. You know, we see that in verse 12 and 13. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. You know, that should be the greatest comfort to our souls. You know, we look at this world around us and we see the darkness of sin in it yet. We see as our nation goes more and more away from God, so more and more sin is exposed. But our God has still chose us in him for a reason, to be part of this church, to be part of the kingdom of God at this point of history. And it's so that we can share that light, reflect that light to others. You know, we live in a darkened world, but know what? The darkness has not and will not overcome it. Our God is still in control. You know, in Ephesians 5, it tells us, therefore, do not become partners with them. For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the world, in the Lord. Walk as children of light. You know, when I read those verses earlier, in God's will for our lives, we have been empowered by the Holy Spirit. The only reason we can accept the truths found in this book is because the Holy Spirit has empowered our minds to accept it. It's not on our own. Listen to John 3:16. Very familiar verses. But the verses that follow after it are even greater, or add so much to it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people love the darkness rather than the light, because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light, and does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out by God. By God. You know, the only reason you're here, it is because of by God. So don't ever think or rely on your own understanding or your own selves. You come to faith, you come to profess faith because of God. It's a supernatural occurrence. Christianity is not a self-improvement program. You are a new creation, a miraculous birth. You didn't just get a makeover. You're a new creature. And along with that, you have been awakened to the spiritual things of God. You have been blessed with the greatest blessing on this side of eternity. That is the reason you can recognize God as your Lord and your King and your Savior. It is a gift from Him. You are different than the world. Unfortunately, many do reject the free gift. But they suppress the truth to do it. They have a knowledge of God. It may be shaded. They do understand right from wrong, but they suppress it. You know, you have a ministry, and it tells us in 2 Corinthians 4:1, therefore having this ministry by the mercy of God, we do not lose heart, but we have renounced disgraceful, underhanded ways. We refuse to practice cunning or to tamper with God's word. Boy, that's a beauty right there, isn't it, for many of the churches now? But by the open statement of the truth, we will commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. You know, I say there's two camps. Those who have not received the mercy of God and are still blinded. You know, we have. We can't boast, we can't brag, because God has given us that light. All we can say is, how then may I serve, Lord? But also our hearts should be burdened for those who have not received that light. You know, when we look at these words that we looked at today, we realize that it is a gift from God, not by man's efforts. But you know, it also teaches in the scriptures that man will be responsible for rejecting the gospel message. You know, and those are conflicting statements. The sovereignty of God, the punishment for man for rejecting. They're two biblical truths, though. I think the word they use is an antinomy, two true statements from the Bible, but seem to conflict. They conflict in our mind. They do not conflict in God's mind. We cannot perfectly explain it because we don't have the mind of God. But what it means is, yes, we understand that God elected us and chose us before the beginning of time. But also, we have to be witnesses to the lost. We can't use that as an excuse not to witness. We have been taught to witness, and that man is accountable. But it is the words of God that bring the light to them. We reflect the light of God. The natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, and he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. Again, they haven't been given that gift. We can't boast. Our hearts must be burdened, though, because they are missing out on the greatest gift on this side of eternity. So what are we to do? What are we to do with this light that we have been given? We have a perfect example right here in these verses. Starting in verse 6. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. You know, you are a man or a woman sent from God into this world at this time of history. You have been sent by God into this church, into your family. You've been given your children to make a difference for the kingdom of God. It's our duty, just as John was sent. We must reflect God's glory, not our own. We must give His word, His truths, His light. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. Means you reflect God's light. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. You know, we can never walk around like the Pharisees, pumping ourselves up. All our efforts are to give glory to God, that those who see us give glory to God. Recognize Him as the source of light. I'm going to end with 2 Corinthians 4:1. For what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, with ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. He let that shine into our hearts for a reason, a purpose, and a cause, that we can reflect that light to others. You know, it's all about Jesus Christ. It's all about His glory. When we sin, it's about our offense to God. You are called to great things, saints. You are empowered by the Holy Spirit to do those things. Grasp onto them. Seek them out. The individual thing, the uniqueness that God has placed in your hearts. Seek that out, and you will be mature saints, and you will have life abundantly. Let us pray. Our Lord and our God, we come before you knowing that we are sinners, knowing that we are only covered by your perfection. But we are a new creation. We are different. We have been given these many gifts. Lord, teach us to use them for your glory's sake. Amen.
We will have communion, and anybody who is a believer.